Those figures there were given out by the highway department on that. I never saw those.
What was a lot of the cleanup work have to do? First clearing the roads?
Awful job getting rid of wash. I mean, you could look up in some of the, like, look up Main Street and South Street and Mill Street and some of those in places that would be just like a forest. All sides you could see would be just trees down. They're in there with the chains, saws, and axes and everything.
So even if it wasn't in the path of the tornado, the winds accompanying the tornado were enough to take down all these trees. So the first major job was to clear the roads?
They had to get the roads clear and get the electricity. I don't know how many days electricity was out. It was less than 6 days, we know, because 6 days they had even closed the canteen. And then that was the top emergency period, about 5 or 6 days.
I don't know how.
This is Priscilla Miller, who lives on what number? West
95.
Main? 95 West Main, all your life?
Practically.
Practically all your life. And that was right.
1946.
That was right across from the Aronsons' house, which was 118, I believe. West Main. And that had been known as the Whitney Place, big house built by Christopher Whitney, and then the Bartlett Box.
She was 14 in 1953, so I was a junior in high school, so that makes me 2 years older than she.
And what were the Aronsons? They were cattle dealers, right?
Yes, but, you know, growing up, there was just always cows across the street, so you didn't, and I helped drive them down to where they would put on the railroad tires down there, the post office.
They got driven down.
Obvious Main Street.
Well, that's so easy to be loaded on
regular cars, yeah. But to know them as cattle dealers is not something to be, so you said it, I don't label them, I just look at the farmers like everybody else farmers know the cows. And the cows escaped and get our front lawn, you know. So it was just, you know, we don't think in terms of.
But their business actually was cattle dealers.
Yeah, now that we put it, see, I'm just not going to agree.
But they. You don't think they lived in the great big house?
I know they did.
Right.
I know.
What did they live in?
They had a little, small white house on the right-hand side of it, the driveway leading in. And it was like houses on Charles Street would be.
Rambling?
No. A small house. It's a later house. It's definitely not a house like our age at all. It's
not a 1700s.
No.
Now, was the big one standing, do you remember?
I don't remember. I think it was already torn down. As a matter of fact, when we moved in fifth grade, it had still been up. So my memory is going from 46 to 53. I think it was already down, but that's definitely it was. It just my memory.
What we're talking about is a big show place of Victorian Charles Whitney had actually added on to it. Was the Fairweather estate he added on to it.
What about the hotel?
Yeah. It was a mansion.
It's a real mansion. We went through it. It was just in the process of taking it down, is what I remember. I found a $5 Canadian bill or something like that. I remember the first one I ever seen, I had tied it in with this old house. It did very
impressive. Let's get to June 9, 1953. And first, was there any warning? What was the weather like?
The thing that I remember was having read the paper the previous night, and they had tornadoes in Detroit. and was a headline, it seemed to me, or something, because it was very familiar to me in my mind that there was tornadoes and there was so unusual north. So that when my sister and I were supposed to go get shoes so that we could be in a, what they call a reception after graduation. That person was when?
This is an account of the 1953 tornado, which happened on June 9th, came through Westboro at 5:25 p.m. I'm talking to Priscilla Miller, who lived across the street from the Arison Farm, which was leveled at that point on West Main Street.
And my father came out of Worcester.
Heather, what actually happened that day? Your father was coming home, your mother was coming home.
My father's coming out on Route 9 out of Worcester. And when he got to the, what they call the flats next to the raceway, from there on he was in hail. And so he came in, of course, at the Milk Street and came up through. Where my mother had happened to get home early that day, but as it turned out, earlier than usual, as it turned out, all of us were in the house by chance at 20 minutes past 5, which is incredible. And I was having this rip-roaring argument with my father.
Now, you were a junior in
high school. Why can't we have this car? You promised us. You know how I was.
Sure.
You said we could do it, and I want to go. You're not, he said, you're not going anywhere. It's the worst storm I ever saw.
You wanted to go out to get
shoes.
Yeah,
go with the shoes and marble. And here's my father saying no. We were furious, Nancy and I. And another thing, I just got my license probably, so all that. So he saying, I was in hail all the way out, and you're not about to do that. And bang, the thing hit.
Any warning?
Yes, there was. There's a couple of things that are very interesting to me. I'm very tuned to birds, and we knew the thunderstorm was coming, so we had closed all the windows in the back of the house, which we always do.
Now, why did you know the thunderstorm was coming?
Well, it was black, and I mean extremely black.
Sky.
The street lights went on in front of the house, and the birds stopped singing. And I was so attuned to this that, you know, even in the midst of all waiting for it, here was this dark black sky, and so black that you couldn't see white underneath it, if you know what I'm trying to say. So dark down to the earth in the back of our house. Of course, the hill and the trees rise in back of our house. Anyway, we closed all the windows and left the front of the house windows open, as we usually do in a thunderstorm, because they only hit in the back. And then, of course, my parents in this running argument, and it's silent, and the street lights are coming on, and something is wrong, but it's still trying
it
to win.
It got very calm, supposedly.
Oh, absolutely dead calm. I mean, there wasn't a sound, except me arguing with my father, you know, then, you know, in between, and he's saying no, and we had to give in to that. But getting darker and darker and darker, and the feeling like something definitely was going to happen, but the fact that there were no birds singing, to me, was awful. And I can remember that very distinctly. Anyway, then it started to pour, and the rain came in the front windows. So I ran upstairs, and I said, well, I'll go close the front windows. And these are all things that happen quite fast. Mm-hmm. As I got up in my bedroom has a front and back window. It's only a single way through. I went to look out the back window, and my basketball hoop backboard had already gone down. And I can remember saying, I think it's a tornado, which is just craziest thing in everything. Mm-hmm. And I went to the front of the house, which I was supposed to do, and I closed the window. And when I did, I caused the whole back of the house to go out. And I looked left, and there was the house, the frame went.
Now, what do you mean?
Bowed
out?
Well, the pressure. Since I must have changed the air pressure. And as I closed the window, I caused all sorts of things happened at once. I heard this crashing noise, and the back end of the house went out, and I went went across the room. I mean,
you
something
fell.
Happened. Well, no, I don't know. I can't tell you. I mean, evidently the the window came in, the air blew. I don't know. All of this is at once. And I don't remember if I... What happened then, except that I ran downstairs yelling, I think it's a tornado, tornado. Now, when you get to the bottom of our stairs, you have to turn then and go towards the center of the house where the two L's meet. My sister Mary ran into a closet, and the bricks start, see these closets always surround a chimney. The bricks started coming down the closet, so she came out yelling. Now, the noise is so loud from the tornado, this horrible noise, that we're shouting.
What's the noise?
The noise, like the roar of like a train. Really think, this is all within very little time now. All these crazy things are happening. Mary's in and out of the closet. Nancy's yelling, go down cellar, go down cellar. Now, the cellar door is here. The hall doorway's here. The closet she ran in is there. My father, the dog, my mother, and I, they're all in this area that's not much bigger than...
Small area.
Well, it's not even that corner from the chair over, see?
Mm-hmm.
So they opened the cellar door, and this whoosh of air came up. Now, I know now why, because Daddy had already opened the cellar windows to the change of heat. So in the early, just when the heat starts, you open, that's how you aerate this house. So the cellar windows were open. When he opened the cellar door, of course, all this wind came up. So he said, no, don't go down cellar, because he was screaming, don't go down cellar. And then, now here we are, five of us, standing so close we could touch each other.
And the back of your house had begun to crack off?
But it had already come back in again.
Oh, I see.
You know, it went out.
It bowed out and came in, or it cracked out?
I don't know how to tell you, but the house, a frame is only built like this.
Uh-huh.
And it's so that it went out and left a crack and then came back in again. Even now, I mean, later on when they went to fix that, there was nothing to pull that whole side of the house in with. So they run a chain out to a board they put against it and back in around the chimney. And that's what's holding that whole wall in now, is this chain.
Incredible.
It's really funny, you know, but... It's not like today's houses. I mean, they evidently did a whole section.
Well, your house was built.
That L is 1750. So, I mean, it looks like they built it on the ground and then put it up. I don't know how to tell you. So.
Okay. Anyway, so what happened to the five of you all standing?
We're all there within touching distance. And right where the one L meets the other, and it started to weave, you know, right in front of our eyes. It went...
The house.
The house. Out and back in it, you know, just like you're watching it.
Sway.
Sway. Yeah. And then, and I can remember people saying, oh my Lord, pray to God, all this sort of stuff. And it was over. And then it's quiet, but you can't see out of the windows because it's covered with mud. And you hear, that's when we heard this man crying and crying and crying. And Daddy didn't want us to open the door. But anyway, we opened the door, the girls. And there was a man who came up the street, and he was the hired hand who was from Aronson's. And he's yelling. He said, they're all dead. They're all dead. I came from Oklahoma to get away from these. They're all dead. They're all dead. And I don't know where I heard. Either he said to us afterwards or then, I was mowing the lawn, and I laid down on the ground. But... I mean, that part I'm not accurate. I don't know.
But he did do, he was out mowing.
Well, if he was, then that's, he said it at that moment. But what I do remember him saying is that they're all dead, they're all dead. I came from Oklahoma to get away from these. They're all dead, they're all dead.
Now, describe what happened across the street then.
Well, the hissing noise of broken gas thing. And the house, everything is gone.
Just flattened?
Well,
or just
from
gone.
Where we stood, there's nothing to be seen from our house. And my father wouldn't let us go out of the yard. And the man is covered with mud and everything else, and he's screaming, and the hissing noise. See, Daddy thought, there's a gas main course broken somewhere, and it's going to
explode.
So we couldn't leave the yard. And
was the gas main from the Aaron's?
We don't
house?
Know, but that was the direction it came from. And I do remember later having the sound stopping, you know. So I don't know where it was, but how soon they could stop it, I can't relate that in time. But the sound stopped
And when you looked over, there were broken trees?
Our big tree was down directly in front of the
big
house.
Big peach tree.
Ours was a huge maple. Maple. Big sugar maple. And it was, as kids, you know, so this is when we were the age you play hide-and-go-seek and run around. All three or four of us could put our hands around it. That's how monstrous this thing was. But see, it's related to how big you are as a child, so I can't tell you how big. But when you went back in the house, a couple of interesting things. One of the main beams of the tree had gone through the front window and was in the living room. But it hadn't hit any of the frame. It just had taken the window. It was just like a lucky thing. And there were all these chimney swifts. Their nests had been broken. So they were all, their little nests and their eggs and their babies were all in the fireplaces. And there was, you know, all the soot from the fireplaces was all over the room.
And you said that your garage, what happened to your car?
The car was very strange. It was a 53 Ford, and it was in our tin garage, right where our regular garage is now. And it had been in the garage, and now it was down in the driveway, next to the stone wall, not a scratch on it, and the tin garage was flattened.
So the tornado somehow pushed the car.
Pulled it right out of the garage, down the driveway, and there it was sitting right by our stairs that you go up to the front door of the house now. And the garage was down flat, well, as flat as a tin garage could get. And that's kind of amusing. When you looked at it, you couldn't believe it. Yes, right. As if somebody backed it right out perfectly.
Now, what was the scene on West Main? What did West Main look like? Was it quite a few trees down?
Actually, you know, we didn't leave the yard very much. So that instantaneously, there were wires down, and there were people coming up the street crying. My father, you know, do not leave the yard, don't get near those wires. So I remember all of us, it wasn't until lots of time later, we got the camera out and took pictures, and those are the dark ones. But I don't think I didn't go anywhere that day looking.
No, I know that they had trouble getting ambulances to the
places.
Well,
we were across the street. Definitely, because of the wires, I would say. I mean, in my mind, I can't see any trees across the street. Our tree was blown uphill, although the tornado came down the hill and back. See, that's the direction of the wind was going, this counterclockwise.
Right.
So all the trees, if there were trees across the street, I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the electricity was out, they had to get the ambulance by person. They couldn't call anybody. And then the ambulance, there were trees down in different places, and the ambulance had trouble getting through Milk Street or by the cemetery, downtown. There were different trees, I guess.
But you had no, a friend of mine, Peter Murphy, I can remember this, now he's not dead. He was in our class, and he lived down on Winter Street, the corner of Winter and the one that on
Summer.
Probably Winter and Summer where they connect. I can never remember because I always get fouled up. Anyway, he later came up the street. I can remember this, and he sort of he hadn't even had any rain. And that's just downtown.
Right, parts of the town, nothing happened.
Not even had any rain. I mean, it hadn't rained. To think that he was less than probably a mile away. I can't see that that's a mile from Winter Street to where we are.
Now, you had rain, too. You said
yes, and there was, as they say, there was mud on the windows and stuff, or the fact that you couldn't see out.
First, it was very dark. Or was there lightning and rain before this calm?
No.
It was calm and black, then
quick. And then bang. I mean, because I was still thinking there's a chance I could convince my father we could go.
And then
it was over with. I mean, this
wind,
was
rain, everything all at once.
All at once, and then it was gone. And you stepped out, having not been able to see out the windows, to open the door and have blue sky was just an incredible thing. You said, you know,
it was blue sky immediately.
Well, in my memory, there was no fear. It was just incredible.
The darkness was gone.
It was gone. I mean, and that's the time, you know, I'm sure that was.
No.
But it was clear, I'm telling you, you stepped out the door and this man was not, it was not in the rain,
Tell
it was
me.
Over.
No. Who died at the Aronson's house, you were saying?
I'm sure There was a man in the barn, and I evidently this is the brother, but I didn't know that.
All right.
There was a Charles Aronson.
That must have been the brother. Yeah. Then it said a Sadie.
Well, Mrs. Aronson and her daughter, Sheila. Those are the two that were in the house.
Okay, they're saying Mrs. Edward Aronson, which would be Sadie Aronson.
But see, I don't know that. I don't know her first name, Sheila. But Sheila I knew. See, we just walked home with her that afternoon from school. And, you know, you finish having this conversation. And she was more my sister Mary's friend and Dareth Montgomery's friend.
Their barn?
Yes, the barn, the silos. Seems to me it was a big barn and then some afterburns and a silo that went down.
Okay, now, what about cleaning up after the tornado and what happened in the days after that?
Well, in my own thing, it was the foolish things that you did to step out on your front lawn and pull on a sharp piece of stone and have it be the slate off your house that was this far in the ground. That like a foot and a half or 2 feet, whatever.
Driven into the ground.
Yes, and so you'd be pulling it. This is what this Peter Murphy came up, and here we are. He's laughing like mad because I'm out there pulling on a rock. I mean, this slate. Not knowing. See, I was not aware this was my roof. And pulling on it, and he's laughing because he hasn't had any rain or anything. And the stupid things you're doing here, the house is fairly wrapped in a big tree, and here we are working on pulling
stones out
of the ground. Yeah. You know. But it was that far in, and some of these had gone into the houses across the street.
Now, tell me about some of these pictures that you have. You had some that had roofs taken off.
The upstreet houses from us, across the street, that would be going out of the town on the left-hand side.
Now, the O'Neill Drive had begun to be constructed.
Uh-huh, but there were people living in O'Neill Drive, because they are the ones that told my mother that they actually saw the Aronson house go up in the air in 30 feet and explode and fall back in. Now that's a quote from somebody who was on O'Neill Drive. I'm not sure whether Miss Peg Chapin, who still lives on O'Neill Drive, who used to work with my mother, whether this is the source of it or whether it was Kimball's one of the first few or four or five or six houses up were already there.
Now, what about McTaggart's? He was...
Way out, and I don't know.
He had been in the barn. I guess he had broke a leg or something when the barn fell down.
Yeah, and I don't know them.
A lot of barns were
the
taken.
The Dunns. I used to go to Dunn's farm and help him with the cows.
And that was where?
That's where, on the right-hand side, where the... new water station, the little brick water, the little water pump station. Sewer pumping station.
How far from the country club? I'm not sure.
Mill Road, mm-hmm. And where it dips down, it goes down, and there's a brick pump station right there.
Mill Road on West
about
Bay.
Five down. There's somebody from on the school committee.
Mr. Becker.
Becker's house used to have another floor on it. The barn that went down was Dunn's barn, went with that house originally.
I see.
But Mr. and Mrs. Dunn lived in the little house, the little tiny house on the hill behind it. And
okay, but he had a farm, and what happened? Did he get hit?
That barn had to be destroyed, or was destroyed.
But you don't remember about cows getting killed. We're just talking
about this. No, I never heard about cows, anything cows at Aronson's at all. I do know that I'm sure cows at Ward's, and I think some cows at Dunn's were injured, and that's all I remember about it. Dunn's put up a new barn that had, but it wasn't a New England barn. It was like a tin roof, one level, like that you'd have to return to. But...
do you know how I was told that the farmers really helped each other out, because immediately after the tornado, there were cows that had to be housed. They had to find barns for them. And the farmers that had their barns standing would volunteer, and everybody got their cows someplace farmed out to these barns. And then because the milking machines were gone,
yep.
The farmers went around and helped each other.
Milk these cows.
Milk the cows.
Have to. Yeah.
Because it was the herds were so big and one person couldn't handle it.
But see, I don't know any of that. It's a funny thing that you
that's
know,
the farmer's point of view. See?
Yeah, I get out of touch with it because you're a junior in high school and all your mind is no longer on it. Where I used to spend all my time in Dunn's farm and helping him with the cows, and I used to spend time at what is now Kosiak's, the Pillars. That used to be the Wilkinson's farm, and that used to be a chicken farm. So when I first moved here in fifth and sixth grade, I used to help him vaccinate chickens and deliver eggs. See, so I knew that particular thing. Now that's the back of one of these houses.
Okay, now what house was shorn, and that was Kosiak's?
Kosiak's, the one, that's the back of that, is a picture of that that is gone. And
actually, it was like the back part of the house was just shaved right off and leaving bathroom exposed, kitchen, or whatever, bedroom. Yeah.
And see, that like a barn
and
or something.
A barn falling down.
Yeah, and then this one's the brick one. The
Dempsey house now. That one wall.
Yeah, the whole down street side of the house, all the bricks are gone.
This is a right kind of semi-corner to the kitty corner to the country club and across from the Inge's house.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then this big tree's uprooted.
Huge beech trees.
Now, there were a lot, supposedly, Westboro was known for its shade trees before
this. West Main Street
had a lot of big...
And South Street, too. I think, to me, though, in my memory, the bad feeling was South Street. Because it was the back of the West Main Street houses that got it, and we lost our big tree. But when you went down on South Street, it always looked like somebody had just taken every tree out of it completely.
And it had been a lot of trees.
Yeah, and it looked, you really knew there was something wrong. I know one that was really good. Where on the corner of Denny Street was a house. Mrs. Sill owned it, and she had a big barn and a great big tree surrounding it, and I used to weed her garden. And I got to think of the name of the people that are in now.
But what happened to that
house? Anyway, the new people had just bought it. The tornado hit and took this huge barn, and it was a walk-through thing underneath. We used to play games and all the trees, and it looked like it was just standing out in the middle of nowhere. And here they are with this... Half of what they bought is gone before they even had, prior to the even moved in.
Now, you were saying, as part of this aftermath, too, that graduation had to be postponed.
Yeah.
It was postponed, actually, till the next Tuesday, they said.
It was definitely later.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a week later.
See, I don't remember that, how long later it was.
And people were not able to drive in and out of Westboro without a card that said they were Westboro residents, and they were allowed... They went to the selectmen. You probably weren't involved
in
that.
No, I didn't know anything.
If you were driving and you needed to go in and out of the town boundaries, you had to have a Westboro resident card in your windshield so that they would let you in, because they didn't. The National Guard was stopping
cars. I remember
cars.
The National Guard business, but it didn't affect a kid very much. It would have affected my father. My mother didn't drive. And
what do you remember the National Guard doing?
Just seeing them. Just that they were aware that they were worried about looting.
Yeah.
But more thinking about Worcester with that.
Mm-hmm. They were preventing sightseers from coming into the
And there
town.
Were a lot of people sightseeing. Instantly, even that night, there were people walking up. And I can remember my father being very upset about it because he wasn't sure all the wires were ready for this. And there were a lot of people running up whose cars couldn't get any further and had to go way out, and here they're trying to get home to see if people were still alive and injured, and you really think you're terribly off until you found out. I mean, you think, oh, you lost your roof and you lost your...
You lost part of your roof.
You can look
right
outside, right up through the chimney and outside in our house, and
the chimney was taken, and...
Well, the top of the chimney, so from inside, everything is built up and yet not mm-hmm. to this thing. So there you are looking out. And here you kept saying, now what if it rains and all this stuff, And it wasn't. It was beautiful, clear, gorgeous weather. Absolutely gorgeous.
The week
weather.
Following that, too?
Well, the day, that night, instantly afterwards, it was incredibly nice, gorgeous. And you're just not aware that how dangerous the thing. You just do stupid things that.
You just react is what you're doing.
You saw people. I actually saw people mowing lawns and there was no house there. I mean that kind of thing, because you're very frustrated. What are you going to do with yourself while you wait for people to come and to repair it? But there were repair people in quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My father had worked was working for Liberty Mutual, so here was his own company. You know, was going to be, or the company he worked for, going to come out. But claims adjusters were in instantly to these places.
Mm.
But I don't remember doing going anywhere though to look at it.
They said about 33 houses were destroyed.
In Westboro?
Yeah, and almost 200 or so damaged.
The one that was surprised me is the one next to MJ Ashton's. That was another Aronson house.
Where was that now?
You go up MJ's driveway.
Which is?
Oh, on where you have. No.
Ruggles.
No. On West Main Street, where the Methodist Church is now.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a little house that's connected to it, like a little bridge effect. And I believe the next driveway is MJ Ashton's house, all right? But there is a little cut in the bushes, and I think that that cut was a driveway that led to this house. It would have been on the left of her driveway, and it had been moved on its foundation completely, so they had to take it out of there.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I can remember either seeing a barn or a house not sitting perfectly on its foundation, askew, and it had to be taken out, and I can't tell you what was there.
Now, some houses lost just roofs, like you have, or were shells left, like you said, the Emory
House. Well, I'm sure that one of the shell is the one on South Street.
I think that's Emory Harvey's house.
Yeah, and so did, when I asked about it, the granddaughter. But the houses this one, that's the one I'm sure.
There was nothing left in that at all.
No,
furniture?
Nothing.
And the roof is
You know,
gone.
You have to tell you something very silly. I have a, my parents put all my, my mother always put her plants outside in the spring. I have a Christmas cactus that was outside during the tornado, and I still have it.
And it's survived.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's 30 years later.
It's still there. It's huge. It's this big.
I think it's proud of itself for having, having gone through something like that.
My mother was telling me this the other day, because when I was kidding, I said, the thing started blooming again in November, and...
Now, whose house is this without a roof?
I think that's the house next to the house next to Cozy X with the pillars.
On West Main.
Yeah, so it's the pillar house, what used to be the Meikle house, then the Harrington.
Now, you have a picture of West Main Street in front of the high school here now. And that, how is it different? It's wider now. There used to be a grass strip separating the sidewalk and
the
curb.
You always had a grass strip, sidewalk and a grass strip going down. And then, of course, they've asphalted up over the granite curb so that sometimes there's only an inch or a half or 2 inches left of the granite curbing, which used to be high. And so if they'd ever, they promised us that they were going to, you know what I mean, renovate this whole thing. About 7 years ago, we all voted at a town meeting, and they were going to raise all those granite curbs back up again.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I just got promised that this year by Mr. Blois at our driveway. And you see, what happens is when you keep doing it, cars then run right up over and park in this, and so now you don't have anything.
Yeah. No protection. And
not at all.
West Main Street here looks narrow and old-fashioned, really. There's no...
But see, there's probably not much difference in width, except in front of the high school, it gets quite broad down there.
Uh-huh. And these trees in front look like some of them have been splintered and are in
this, halves. You can see there was an old broken one of that for there a long time, but it's quite a while. So
it took about a week, I guess, to get until it wasn't a disaster area anymore, but they... Worked.
Isn't that funny looking?
Your tin garage. With the tree. Actually, the trees caused as much trouble, I guess.
Well, there were three old elms, monstrous elms, and they were taken down in the tornado, and they remained down, you know, for a long time. In fact, they've just finished rotting away recently, you know. you can still find with a basement. Monstrous, big, three big elms.
He said people remembered the whine of the chainsaw going through the night.
And every time for years, as you heard this, you brought right back to, was there a tornado?
Why?
So because that, it was a horrible sound, that whining of this chainsaw, and it's all over town, and you relate a chainsaw with a tornado. So it never doesn't go off.
It was kind of a constant for several days of this chainsaw.
It's a long time getting over this.
Mrs. Harvey, Jane Harvey, still has problems with chainsaws for the same reason.
I don't anymore break out in a cold sweat with a thunderstorm that I used to. But it's only been about 10 years now that I could say to you that now I can... look for positives and look at the
problem. You're a very rational math science teacher, and you know all the
meteorology. But I looked at my barometer, and if that barometer, when I touch it, flicks down low, and there's been any tornadoes in the previous day like there was in this one, I can definitely feel my heart start up.
You were young, and you were so involved in it.
Well, I'd be very impressed by the fact that...
Also, when you closed that window, and that house...
And all these things happened. And I can remember this being, I think I was blown back, but you see, I can't remember if the window broke, how did I get on the other side of the room, and then when you went out and found that they had to use a chain to hold back the wall back up, then you realized, oh, for a long time, till it was fixed, you could go out and walk out and look outside. Look, still
what do
look
you mean?
Out. Well, you walked out in the back room, and since it was loose and the whole thing could go over each time, you could go out and look outside. It had come back on its own because it was put together with pegs and so they, but it wasn't sealed.
I mean, there was a fission or something that you could
right
look
where
out.
It looked like.
It looked like a crack. It looks like a
large
crack.
Well, see, this picture here gives you an idea of, not that one, this one. This is where the shed did the same thing. The
it's
section
kind
of the...
like
that was a separate frame, so it pulls
to
out.
Rip off.
One section of your clapboarding is all in one piece, and it comes away.
Mm.
And then it didn't break. This is something where this... A board
was driven, a flying board, obviously,
right
through the clapboards.
It was out over our stairwell. Inside the house, you went down the stairs underneath this board. You looked up and the board had come right through the house.
The force of that. They said it traveled from 300 to 500 miles an hour.
Yeah. But again, we were...
And you're helpless. I mean, humans are totally helpless.
It's fast. I would say to you that it's under 2 minutes, that all of this is occurring. Trying to get somewhere for safety, everywhere you try to get, you shouldn't do, or bricks are falling, or there's too much wind coming out, or the house is doing it, and people yelling at each other, and what should we do, and everything, and the next thing, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
That must be part of you never found a safe place either, and that's a frightening thing.
And not being able to see outside, and then have the house weaving.
Yes, and then having somebody killed
and
across
the
street.
And then you hear this man crying and crying and crying, and your father's saying, no, go outside, don't go outside. And we've got to go. Man needs to open the door, and there he is.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's
It's
been 30 years now, Priscilla, 1953 to 83, 84 now. But
if it's a bad storm even today in Westboro, I have often gotten in the car, driven up the hill, and if I can see under the cloud as it comes over the Country Club Hill, then I go back to the house and I know I'm all right.
Yeah, it's all psychology.
Isn't that awful?
Well, it's part of that whole thing. That might be where
you
live through.
And my mother... is better if she's in Westboro and there's a storm, she zeroes right back in and is back at the moment. But if she's at the Cape in a bad thunderstorm, she has pretty good control over it.
Hmm.
If she's in Florida, Daddy says the fact of the wind and the housing going back and forth, everything's loosely built and rattles and everything else, it's very upsetting to her. But
I'm sure a lot of people in Westboro have
that feeling. Some psychiatrist said to my father, and he was involved with a lot of the cases that came into Liberty Mutual, that it would be a full 20 years before people would be able to breathe deeply and have a complete hold on the situation after something like this. Now, they were, I would say it took me at least that long, and I don't think my mother really ever got over it. But she's more of an indoor person, and where my father is out, you know, get out in the world and stuff. It's a little different.
It's so very different how different people reacted, but what impressed me is how the town helped each other out. Sounds
oh,
like.
And the people showed up instantly. Those are some other things. People came right away to talk to. Those would be silly things. You won't have
And did they... To offer help to, because all you need.
Oh yes, and then
people helped each other pick up debris.
Yes, and you, sometimes you didn't know who they were, and they'd be stopping by and doing just picking up things.
I know that they said Boy Scout troops picked wood out of the hay fields so that they could cut hay.
Oh,
so
isn't that interesting?
So that they could get hay for the
evidently
cows.
We were pretty. We thought we were badly off, but we actually were very well off because we had a roof over our head and most of the house. Isn't he pretty?
So you're lucky. And thank you for talking
to me. Oh, you're welcome.